This morning, we're going to continue with our series that we've been looking at for the past few weeks now. I think this is our fifth installment. And we've been looking at something called, a series called Your New Life in Christ. And I spoke quite extensively about a number of things concerning the new life. And without going back into all the bits that I've spoken about, what this is saying is that as Christians, when we become believers, oftentimes we accept Christ, we're happy, we know we're going to heaven, and we carry on with our lives. And it appears that from the time we, you know, really accepted Christ, going forward, it appears that nothing has really changed. And that's because I think oftentimes we think it's just you become a Christian. That's it. Maybe, you know, you come to church on the Sundays and on the Fridays or Wednesdays, which is great. But the point I was just trying to make is that there is so much that God has done for us. There's so much that Christ has provided for us as believers. And we can go through life and not just know that those things are there. We can go through life and just struggle through in our Christian walk and just think that, well, I'm just going to struggle through. I'm going to try my best and see what happens as I go along. But that's not how God wants us to live our Christian life, because God has done so much for us that he wants us to know about. All right, so that's what we've been looking at for the past 4 weeks. Now, today I'm going to look at something slightly different, still within the context of our new life in Christ. And what I'm looking at today is something I've termed worldliness. And I've said the title is Worldliness, the Enemy of Your New Life. Worldliness, the Enemy of Your New Life. Now, I'm just going to try, I'll see if I'm not quite sure I'll finish this today, but I'll just see how far I can go. Now, what is worldliness in the context of our Christian faith? I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if someone said, oh, that person is a worldly Christian, what they referred to often was maybe the way they dressed, maybe the way they, do you understand? It was very superficial. It was just based on like an outward thing about them. And they would make that judgment based on the outward appearance of that person. I mean, in America then, and in those days, maybe in the 50s and in the 60s, you couldn't, in America then, I mean, I wasn't born in the 50s, by the way. Just stories I heard. In those days, if you went to like a regular African-American church, you had to dress in a particular way. You know, you weren't allowed to wear earrings. Women were not allowed to wear trousers. I mean, it was so, and if you violated any of those stipulations, you were seen as worldly. But the challenge with that is this. You could be, not you, someone could be the worst ever person, not wear all those earrings, look so, wear white all the time. And that person could be the brother of Adolf Hitler, or even worse. Do you understand? On the other hand, you could have someone who maybe doesn't, you know, fit into that mold. They don't wear white. And all those things. And their heart is really with God. So what I'm just trying to form the basis of this morning is to say, look, worldliness is not just a way of dressing. It is not just an appearance. Worldliness is embedded in the heart of a person. So I just wanted to clarify that. So I'm going to look at a number of things today. And the first thing I want to look at is, what is worldliness? I got a dictionary definition here, and we'll look at some bits in the Bible as well. So I got this from the internet's online dictionary. It says, worldliness, it is being overly concerned with material values or ordinary life rather than your spiritual existence. So this definition looks at worldliness, and it says it's being overly concerned about material values and about ordinary life. Now, one might say, hang on, so what's the big deal? I should be concerned about that, shouldn't I? I should be concerned about what I'm going to do in the future. I should be concerned about getting a job, going to school, paying my bills. I should be concerned about those things. So how come, I mean, what's the big deal? Why am I saying this is worldly? Well, it's going a step beyond that. And I'll come to that in a minute. If we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I'm going to take an extract from there to define what worldliness is actually talking about here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So if you just stop at that comma. From the Bible's perspective, worldliness is conforming to the pattern of this world. Now, what is the pattern of this world? Now, the pattern of this world is not necessarily all bad. So I'm not saying, look, once you become a Christian, just extract yourself to Mars and start living in a cave by yourself. No, we still live in a real world. We're real people. So we're not saying we should become hermits or monks somewhere and lock ourselves up. No. It's saying here that there is something called the pattern of this world. And that is what the Bible refers to as worldliness. So we looked at the regular definition. It says, being overly concerned about the material values and ordinary life rather than spiritual existence. The Bible says, not being conformed to the pattern of this world. That's what the Bible refers to as being as worldliness. Now, the second thing is this. What does worldliness have to do with us as Christians? Well, the truth of the matter is this. Every single one of us has a measure of worldliness in us. Because when you become a Christian, when you become saved, something happens to you spiritually. God changes your heart. God makes you a brand new person. So in God's eyes, from a spiritual perspective, you're new. Everything that you did before then, all the sins you committed, so on and so forth, he doesn't see them anymore. So really, when you become born again, you change. The inside of you changes. But you as a person, outwardly, you don't change physically. The other thing as well, all the thoughts that you had, your way of life, your way of thinking, since you were born, the things you've learned, the reactions that you have to different situations, those will still remain with you. Those things do not disappear automatically when you become a Christian, when you become born again. They are still with you. But the difference now is this. In the past, before one becomes a Christian, those things you had absolutely no control over. They were things that were just almost instinct. You would just do those things. Now that you're a Christian, those things are still in your life because obviously you grew up with them or those are the values that you had. The Bible now says there's something that you and I need to do. We need to be aware that those things are in us and we need to do something about it. So God is the one that has given us the free gift of salvation. There's nothing you do to deserve that. God is the one that does so many things in our lives. Those things God does, but there is a responsibility that we have. And that responsibility is to address worldliness. So the second thing I was mentioning here is that when you're born again, worldliness does not disappear from you automatically. Till we die, we will all have a measure of worldliness in us. However, we still need to address it and make sure that it doesn't take us where we don't want to go to. So, first thing I mentioned was I defined what worldliness is. I said it's being overly concerned about this life, but we still need to be concerned. It also says, I mentioned that it's a pattern of living. There's a mindset, there's a pattern that's worldly that God wants us to address. The second thing I just mentioned was the fact that when you become a Christian, that thing is still in you. It's up to you to deal with it. God will not deal with that part for you, although God has given you the free gift of salvation. Now, the third thing I want to look at is this. We're talking about worldliness. What are the signs of worldliness? You know, it's just like you go to a doctor and the doctor looks at you and he begins to look for certain signs to say, if you say, for example, I have a, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, I'm just going to guess. I have a toothache or something, or is that the dentist or doctor? One of them, anyway, those guys that, I have a, I, there's something wrong here. He will now, you know, put you on another knife, open your teeth, and he begins to investigate. And what he's looking for is signs of something. Maybe it might be signs of tooth decay, it might be signs of, but he's looking for a sign. Or if it's not your teeth, maybe something's happening somewhere. And he takes out his stethoscope and he begins to look for signs. And he says, okay, if your heart is beating like this, maybe it's a sign of something. And he begins to recommend a number of things to you. He might say, Pastor Benson, I think you need to do more exercise in this area. He might say, eat less sugar. And he's able to recommend what you should do. Now, what are the signs of worldliness in the life of a believer so that we can begin to understand these things? Like I said, worldliness is not a way of dressing. It is not a way of speaking. Those things are just outward. Worldliness is in the heart. Now, what are some of the things that begin to show us that, look, there's something that I still need to address worldliness in my life because these are the signs. Now, I want to mention that the first thing is this. One thing that we need to look at in the context of worldliness, one thing that shows the measure of worldliness in our lives as Christians, that tells us where we are, the first thing is the basis for the choices that we make. When you make a decision, when you're going to make a choice about something, what's that based on? Is it based on something that you heard somebody speak about? Is that something you picked up from your favorite pop star on television? What's the basis of your decision? So when you begin to look at the basis of your decisions, maybe you're not really conscious of that, you begin to see that, look, the decisions I'm making about different areas of life are based on worldliness. Someone might say, what are those kind of decisions that we make? Quite a lot. It might be decisions about relationships. It might be decisions about entertainment. It might even be decisions about how you dress. Now, remember, if you rewind, I said worldliness is not how you dress. Those things are outward. But as you make decisions, it will show where worldliness is in your life. And it might be apparent outwardly. Now, let's even look at how we dress a bit. Although, you know, I wanted to put the PS, it's not external. Now, I see someone who, nice guy, and he's walking, he walks past me, and he's a Christian. And as he's walking past me, he has his trousers here. And this chap is like early 40s. So we're not saying this chap is like 3 or 4 that he forgot to pull his trousers off. This is a conscious decision. And his trousers are here. So he pulls them down here and he, you know, wears it that way. And he's a Christian. And he's cool about it. Do you understand? And he's going. So that person has made a choice. Now, what choice has that person made? What informed his choice? So we're not looking at the fact that this chap is wearing his trousers here. We're looking at what's the basis of why did he wear his trousers that way? Yes. He must have looked at someone and said, you know what? I think that's the way I should wear my... What really informed that guy's choice as a Christian? It's not that this guy is bad. It's not that he doesn't love God, but his decision to wear his trousers that way came from somewhere. Where did it come from? Maybe he has a favorite artist, and that artist who he admires, that's how they wear their trousers. And he says, you know what, that's the way I want to do it. Do you understand? But if you now trace the reason or where that came from, we know that that came from prison in America. That in a particular prison, if you belong to a particular gang, that's how you would wear your trousers, so that they would realize that you're part of that gang in prison. Yeah, that's how it came about. So what I'm saying is, what informed that person's choice? So as a Christian, it's not enough to tell that guy that, look, pull your trousers up, you're a Christian. No, you need to tell that person that, look, I understand that you think this is cool, but really it's not cool, because this is what has informed that kind of... Do you understand what I mean? So worldliness is not just the outward thing. It's like, why is that person making that choice? Why have they made that choice? Do you understand what I mean? So that's worldliness begins to address. Let's talk about relationships as well. Someone might say, you know what? I'm 13 years old, I'm 14 years old, and I want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend at 14 years old or 13. Obviously, I mean, that relationship is not going anywhere. It's not like you're going to marry them. You can't even look after yourself. It's not like you can, you know what I mean? So what has informed... Why are you guys laughing? Do you know any 14-year-old guy that can get married and look after a family? Show me. So what I'm saying is that what has informed that choice? So we might say, you know what? You're 14, you're 13. Don't do that now. You're a Christian, so on and so forth. But that's not good enough. What we're telling them is we want to stay away from behavior modification that says, don't do that. We want to tell them, why are you doing that? Why? Why is the person doing that? That's what we want to look at. That's what worldliness addresses. They're probably doing it because everybody in their school is doing it. All the people in their schools have boyfriends and girlfriends. And why? So what we're saying here is this. For that person, they've made a choice, but their choice is not based on their new life. The choice is based on what they've seen. The choice is based on maybe someone they admire, who they think, okay, this person is, you know, going the right way. But the Bible tells us that in this new life that we live in this new life that we have, not just in the areas of dress or in the areas of relationship, in all the areas of our lives, God wants us to make our choices based on the Bible. Do you understand? So this isn't like a finger pointing thing to say, you know what, if you do this, you're worldly and, you know, you're not a proper Christian. No, they're a proper Christian, but their choices, the basis for their choices needs to be addressed. Or let's even look at another example. Maybe before you became a Christian, the ideal thing for you was that if someone did something to you, maybe they spoke to you the wrong way, your response was to, you know, give them a slap straight on the spot. I mean, how would you feel if after the service, you know, you guys are here, you're having tea and biscuits, you're all happy and laughing, and you just hear like a loud noise out there in the lobby, like, you know, a lot of commotion, blah, 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 you know. And they're like, oh, don't do that. Leave that person alone. You know, don't hit them. Don't do that. Please get someone to help us. And you guys walk out of the room and you're like, hang on, what's happening here? There's lots of commotion here. And when you guys get out there, behold, you see Pastor Benson with my shirt rolled off and my sleeves down. And I'm saying, let me punch that person out. Let me deal with them. They've really upset me. I'm going to show them that. You know, how would you guys react to that? You say, go pastor. Is that what you'd say? Like, pastor, come on. You'd be like, pastor, I didn't know that. I think we need to put you against AJ. I'm sure you can take AJ out. You can, you know. Is that what you guys would do? Why? It's not what you expect. So what is the basis of that expectation? That means there is a standard that you guys are looking at. You're saying, hang on, as a pastor, this is the standard you need to live by. Do you understand? So, do you know my choice? Although I wouldn't do that, I'm too cool to do all that stuff. So, my choice in that situation could have been based on the fact that when I was growing up, I didn't take nonsense from anybody. If you spoke rudely to me, you were going to get a real smack. And even though I'm now a Christian, even though I'm now even a pastor, I still have my choice. My choice in that area hasn't changed. It's still reflective of what I used to do. It's still reflective of what I picked up somewhere. Do you understand? So in that instance, I'm worldly. I'm worldly. So what am I saying here? The Bible is telling us that here, in our lives, we need to be aware that for each and every one of us, as we grow in this Christian life, there are certain things that we do. There are certain responses that we will have. The Bible isn't saying if you have those responses, you should just say, you know what, I'm no longer a Christian. I can't. No, no, no. The Bible says if you realize that you have that behavior in you, look at yourself and say, look, okay, this is how I reacted in this situation. I shouldn't do that anymore. Why? Because I'm now living the new life of Christ. Do you understand? And what do? You amend. You adjust. And the thing is this, as you begin to adjust your ways, adjusting your ways, not because you want to look like a Christian, not because you want to, no, because that's your new life. So it has nothing to do with the people who are watching you. It has nothing to do with anything. It just has to do with the fact that, look, now you're living a new life. And gradually, you begin to make amends to your life based on the source of your choices. Do you understand? So I'm saying this because, as I mentioned earlier, when we become Christians, we don't automatically change. But the thing is this, God has given us the ability to begin to amend our ways. And the way we amend our ways is, one, owning up to what we are, owning up to the mistakes that we've made, owning up to behaviors that we have that are not correct, and saying, you know what, God, this isn't the proper behavior. This isn't the proper response. I'm going to change my response. Not because anybody's looking at me, but because I want to live this new life. Do you understand? So what I'm saying here is this. It shouldn't be, yes, I know that the outward behavior is what shows what's inside of us. But let's go a bit deeper and address the things that are causing us to make those choices. Do you understand? So I've said here, the signs of worldliness. The first is the basis of the choices that we make. So if we can see the logic in that, that you make your choices, I make my choices based on certain things, then if I want a change of behavior, I should begin to base my choices on what the Bible says. Do you understand? So that's the first sign. I'll look at a number, one or two more, then we'll stop. Then I'll carry on next week. So the second thing is this. The signs of worldliness, our lifestyle. Now, at the beginning, I took some time to explain that, look, we don't want to fall into the trap of the externalities of a person or of ourselves to form or to be the basis of how we judge our Christian behavior. We don't want to look at someone, or I don't want to look at someone and say, okay, this is how their lifestyle is, so they probably are not a good Christian, no. However, the Bible says a number of things about us being Christians in this new life. The first is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. There is a lifestyle that you and I have as believers. I gave the example of, you know, if you heard someone doing a punch out in the lobby and you got there and you found that it was the pastor doing that, you guys said you'd be so disappointed. Or you'd be so, why? Because you expect that there is a certain lifestyle that I should live as a pastor. Do you understand? So if that lifestyle pertains to me as a pastor, don't you think it pertains to every single believer as well. Or, I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible that says pastors don't have punch outs, but anybody that's not a pastor, go for it. Unless it's within like legal bounds. Like, in, you know that if you're fighting AJ or someone like that in the ring. So, what I'm saying is this. There's a lifestyle that we ought to live in this Christian walk. And Paul says this. He says, look, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you've received. So God wants us to live a particular lifestyle as believers. Not because we want to impress God, but because that's how we are. That's how we should be. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 4, still about the lifestyle. He says, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless and wild living, and they heap abuse on you. This is also saying that, look, as a Christian, as a believer, the lifestyle that God wants us to live might not be embraced by the people around us. Do you understand what I mean? It might not be embraced by the people around us, but there is a lifestyle that God wants us to live. Now, I'm just going to do the third one, then I'm going to close, then I'll carry on next week. We're looking at the signs of worldliness. I've said one is the basis of our choices. The second one is God expects us to have a certain lifestyle. Now, the third is this. What other thing as well, signifies the measure of worldliness in our lives? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to 17. There is something called the love of the world. The love of the world. I'm going to explain what that means in a minute, then we'll just pray. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. It says, the world and its desires pass away. But whosoever does the will of God lives forever. So the third thing is this. As a believer, there is something that you and I have to we need to be conscious of, and that we need to slowly win ourselves away from, and it's the love of the world. Do you know what the love of the world is? The love of the world is wanting to be something great in the world so that you can be popular, so you can be well known, so you can be respected. Do you understand? It's wanting to be, to succeed. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing your best to succeed in whatever it is you're doing. But when it goes beyond that to the point where you want to be like the greatest singer, you want to win the Grammys, you want to do this, that's the main focus. You want to be X Factor number one. You want to be the person that everybody knows about. You want to be famous. You want to, do you get what I mean? The Bible says that's the love of the world. That means one loves the world. One loves the things that the world gives. Well, when I say the world here, I'm talking about the world system, not like the earth. There's a desire in every human being that wants to be famous, that wants to be known, that wants to be popular, that wants to be the greatest this, the greatest that. Now, I'm not saying we should not strive to be the best at what we do. We should. But this goes beyond that. This goes to the point where fame, recognition is the sole aim. Do you understand what I mean? God says we need to be careful about that and really watch that in our lives as well. All right, so I'm going to stop there this morning. I will carry on next week. So we're looking at worldliness, the enemy of the new life. Next week, I'm going to look at the consequences. What's worldliness really, the aim of worldliness in the life of an individual? I'll show us by God's grace what worldliness wants to do to you and I, and why it is so, well, why God is so concerned about this. We'll look at that next week. So today we've looked at three things. We've looked at what is worldliness. We said, as a Christian, worldliness is not disappear from you automatically, from you and I. And we've looked at some of the signs of worldliness. So next week we'll carry on. But this morning I would just like us to pray.